So he'll give him a Lamed Aleph then, about 10 to 12 lines from the top.
Right. I'll give him a
Lamed Aleph, yeah. The line begins, Kirchot him. Okay. I'm Nachman. I'm a Hayyur Meir. Meir used to say, we learned this before, after the Motzei Ba'ash, but even if you find a get in garbage, so it was written, it obviously wasn't written L'shem, the man and the woman who are going to be using it. It may have been written for practice or whatever it was. Chosmo, if at that point you sign it, L'shma, V'nosnila, and the husband gives it to the wife, Kosher. Because according to the mayor, since we've been saying that according to the mayor, Eide Chassima Kauti, that it's the Eide Chassima that are the essential things, and according to him, when the Torah says, V'kosav lo, which means L'shma, that the V'kosav refers to the signing, not to the writing. What do you mean? The pasuk says v'chasav lo l'shma. My lav k'sivas haget. Doesn't that mean the actual writing of the get? So then it should have to be l'shma. The answer is loy k'sivas edim. That's exactly it. According to the mayor, it would be the signing of the edim that's denoted by the word v'chasav.
In other words, nirfam can be written as kiva.
No, in other words, yeah, because if you mean whatever writing is essential to the get. Has to be done l'shma. According to the mayor, that's the Eide Chassima. Eisve Rava, so Rava asks him another question. The Mishnah says later, Kol get shenichtav shalo l'shum ish apostle, the beginning of the next parak, says any get that's not written in the name of a woman is apostle. So, it's not written in her name. The answer is Amos. Fine. It was written in her name, but what?
It was written for Otto. It was written for Otto, and he picked it up. It was Otto's name.
So that's the thing. That's the Mishnah is going to be talking about later. The beginning of the next parak is going to be talking about a number of cases. One of them is that yes, you can have a case where there's a man named Yosef in town, and he has a wife named Rachel, and he writes a get intending to divorce his wife. And then another Yosef in town, who's married to another Rachel, finds him and says, you know what, can I buy that get off you and let me use it for my wife? No good. It has to be L'shem Isha, and it has to be L'shem that specific Isha. So that's what we're discussing. That's what we're discussing. So Rava, that's what we're asking. That's what Rava is assuming, Rava is assuming that the Mishnah in the following parak, when it says, Kol get shenichtav shalo L'shem Isha apostle, that would have to be according to the mayor, and in that case, then yes, it has to be written l'shma. So what kind of you find it in the garbage? And the answer is again, Ema shenechtem shalo l'shem isha apostle. No, you would have to say that the Mishnah means if it wasn't signed l'shem isha. Because again, according to Rav Nachman's understanding of a mayor, even if the entire get, the tofes and the toref, were all written shalo l'shma, it doesn't matter. It's the signatures that are the central things. Yeah.
But shalo l'shma means. Also, it could be written for somebody else.
Shalom Lishma has a few different possibilities. It can mean that it was written for somebody else, or it can mean it was just written for practice, so it wasn't written with anybody particular in mind at all. Yeah.
Because
the signature is therefore the writing doesn't matter, right? Tosfos asks the question that Mishnah in the next parak describes the situation. Let's say, for example, you overhear Sofrim dictating a practice get, and then you say, you know what, those names happen to match mine, so what are the signatures doing over there? And Tosfos says, okay, you could say that maybe when Sofrim are practicing, they not only practice writing the get, they practice signing it also, let's say. But then, according to the mayor, if it was signed for practice, it would be possible because the signing is not l'shma. Usually, yes, but okay, it could be the sofer are practicing so that, you know, the one sofer will write it and the other sofer will sign it for practice, whatever. Okay. He asked him another question. It's as if he wrote it l'shma. Now, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Two different things. What do you mean? My love, shul koisvil a todef l'shma, ki koisvil a tofes l'shma. Doesn't that mean, then, that we're distinguishing between two parts of the get itself, between the tofes, which is all the boilerplate, and the todef, which is the essence of the get itself, the name, the harem, teres, the holodom? So we're saying that if you write the todef l'shma, it's as if you wrote the tofes l'shma, it's as if the entire thing was written l'shma, but then that would mean that the todef has to be written l'shma. Not like you and Nachman are saying that it's good enough if you find the entire thing, Topheth and Toteth, in the garbage. The answer is no. No, what it means, loy, it means, chosme l'shma, kilo chosme l'shma. No, what it means is, we change the first chosme to mean chosme, when you sign it, when you write, meaning when you write the signatures, which according to the mayor is the essence of it, when you write the signatures l'shma, it's the equivalent of as if the entire thing, Topheth, Toteth, and signatures, was all done l'shma. Now the Gemara is going to go back to the original question that started off the whole sugya from yesterday, right after the Mishnah, where the Mishnah had said that anybody can write a get, even a cheder shoyt of a cotton. The Mishnah had asked v'halav bnei deyaninu that they don't have das. How are they able to write a get? So that brought us into the whole thing that Rav Huna says that Rav Huna had said that only if you have a gadol omed al gavo, and only if you have a gadol watching him and telling him write it l'shma. Now returning to that, the boy sema hani masnis in mani rabulazehi. Who are all these Mishnayos that our Mishnah and all the various other Mishnayos that we've just been mentioning are all according to Rabbi Lozer. To Amar Edim Mesira Karti, which he says, as we've had several times already, that it's the Edim Mesira that are the important thing. So it doesn't matter who writes the get then. As long as it doesn't matter who writes the get, and it doesn't even matter so much the signatures on the get, even the signatures, as we're going to learn later on, and we've talked before, we'll learn later on in the fourth parak, are primarily there in the Tikkun HaOlam. So according to him, the writing has to be done l'shma, okay. So when we say Hani Masnis, if you both say Hani Masnis, and we mean all the Mishnayos that we were just mentioning as challenges to Rav Nachman. You say Rav Nachman. Let me start over then. We're not referring back to the beginning of Halav Bnei Deyaninu. That'll be afterward. This V'Boi Seimer is referring to all these three or four things that Rava had brought as a challenge against Rav Nachman. You want to tell me that the mayor says if you find the get in the garbage, it's okay as long as you sign it, and we have different Mishnayos that seem to imply otherwise, and we had to reinterpret each of them to fit with Rav Meir. No, instead you can say that all of them are according to Rav Elazar, that Eidim is Sira Kargi. So therefore, yes, according to him, when we say kol get shenichtav shalom l'shul mishafasol, it means at face value, it means if it gets a get, the Torah of it at least, was not written l'shma, because according to him, that has to be written l'shma. Same thing with the next thing that said that when you kill kosva, kill kosva l'shma, it did mean toifas versus toifas, not like we wanted to explain according to the mayor, signatures versus the rest of the get, and so forth. You can say all three of those Mishnayos, or Brises, are all according to Rabbi Elazar. So therefore, they don't contradict Rav Nachman's understanding of Rav Meir. Okay. Now is where we go back to the beginning of the Gemara. Sorry about that. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So now to answer the original question that in our Mishnah we said a cheder shoyt of a cotton are writing a get, but aren't they that they don't have gas? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says a different answer. Well, who shashir makam atodeth? That in our Mishnah we're talking about that it has to be that the cheder shoyt of a cotton wrote the toifas and left the toifas blank. They left it for a gadol to write. So the Torah includes the names, it includes the words Hareach Matarach Bechadam, and as some of Farshim also say, it includes the date. The Topheth is a lot else. The Topheth is the whole Lashon over there, that's the point. It's the Topheth. It's not that important. The Dane, the Yev, the Chiminai, Shtei Petruch, and there's several lines of a guest over there that are Topheth. Yeah. So we're saying, V'hu Shashir Mokam HaTodef, V'chein Amar Chagam HaShmeda, all of Shashir Mokam HaTodef. And according to this would be according to Rabbi Elazar, because if we were to say according to the mayor, it doesn't matter Topheth or Toteth, like we said before, because we just established Rav Nachman and said, Rav Meir had said nothing has to be written l'shma, just the signatures of Yizan l'shma. But if we say that Toteth has to be left over, that would necessarily have to be according to the mayor, according to Rabbi Elazar. Before we have a bit of a time discussing, is Rav Yehuda necessarily disagreeing with Rav Huna? Is it maybe Rav Huna himself, when he said, Vushi Yagodol Emed Agaba, is he himself maybe only talking about the Topheth and saying that the Torah would have to be written by a Gadol, like Rav Yehuda is saying? Or are they in fact arguing and saying, Rav Huna would be saying as long as a gadol was watching him and telling him write the Shema, then he could even write the Torah, whereas Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, would be saying that he can't write the Torah. Rav Zrika Amar Rav Yechanan ain't a Torah. However, Rav Zrika says in the name of Rav Yechanan, this is not Torah, meaning. It means Rashi says ain't shomim loch. We're not going to pay any attention to what you said. What you said is not; it cannot possibly be right. So what does that mean? Nay ain't a Torah. What do we mean exactly? What do we mean ain't a Torah? Amar Rav Abba, it means kan hodiach hashen koyach l'shma. It means that no. According to Rav Yochanan, you're telling me you want to tell me that the Mishnah is according to Rav Elazar and that we're distinguishing between Tofet and Torah. No, Rav Yochanan is saying never mind that. The Mishnah is telling us. Kan hodiachal, you, the Mishnah, is informing you, she'en koyach l'shma, that there's no power in that there's no power in writing the get l'shma. The l'shma is only necessary for the signatures of the get, not for the writing of the get. V'rabeiri, and then that's according to the mayor, Dama Edechasima Kaji, who says that the Edechasima who create the cutting off, who create the get to be a valid get. So that's what we mean. Ain't a Torah. Don't think that the Mishnah is like Rabbi Lazar, and therefore that the Mishnah is telling us that they can write the Tofus, and depending on how you understand Rabbi Huna versus Rabbi Huda, that maybe they can write the Torah with Gadol Omer or Gabov or not. No, the Mishnah is talking about the entire get. They can write the entire get. Tofus. This is according to Rabbi Yishan, and that's what we're saying. According to Rabbi Yishan, when he says ain't a Torah, we mean. What? He said. That's the thing. Rabbi Yochanan is saying the fact that the Mishnah is not making any such distinctions, the Mishnah just says blank, hakok shayin list of us a get, means the entire get, Tofus and Torah for life, and no God alone in Agaba. The Mishnah didn't mention any such thing. So therefore, ain't a Torah. It's not a Torah to say that our Mishnah goes according to a blazer. It has to be that our Mishnah goes according to a mayor. Okay. The question is, well, Amar Rav Abahana, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazahi. Didn't we have before about a previous part of the Mishnah? In general, the Gemara tends to assume that all Mishnayos in a Perek, all Stam Mishnayos in a Perek, all come from the same Tana, where when there's one, there's a continuation after the other. And we have the Mishnah on Chafalof Amud Beis that mentioned the situation where get was written on something attached to the ground, which is where if the entire thing had been written and signed that way, it'd be possible. And we said if it was written attached to the ground and then detached and signed, then it's kosher. And we said over there that the Rabbi Baba Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that only works not if the signatures are left over, because you still need part of the get, you still need the essence of the get, the Torah, to be written on something detached. Therefore, necessarily, he's saying that Mishnah is according to Rabbi Lazar, Edi Masira Tauti. Therefore, they're the body of the get, the Torah of the get, has to be written betolush. Here you're telling me that our Mishnah, which is a direct continuation of that one, is according to the mayor.
Well, the
That's true, but we said over there we make a zeta. We according to that opinion, we make a zeta that you shouldn't even write the Tofus when it's Mechubah, because you may forget and write the Torah for Mechubah as well. The answer is Amiroyim Ninu Ba'al Avodah Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, you have two different Amiroyim disagreeing with what Rabbi Yochanan said. One held that Rabbi Yochanan had said that the Mishnayos are according to the mayor, Eidim Masirah, Eidim Chasimah Karki, and the other one held that it's according to Rabbi Lazar, Eidim Masirah Karki. Rabbi Yochanan. They have two different understandings within what Rabbi Yochanan said. Mishnah says, now that we talk about writing the get,
Point of May, where it's only the whole action takes place, just by the Hasidus. Point to him, what do you say?
So that's what we talked about earlier in the first paragraph when we talked, because if you only say B'fanei Nechtam, then you're going to think it's like regular Kiyum Shtaris. You're going to think it's like validating regular the signatures on a regular Shtar, and you might think you can get away with only one person doing that, and you can't. You need two people. So to avoid that, we make them say B'fanei Nechtam, even according to the mayor. Yeah.
And Nechtam would go on signature.
Mishnah says, a kol kshed in l'hobiyas a get. Everybody is kosher to deliver a get. Or actually, l'hobiyas a get actually has a double meaning. We've talked about before, there's two different kinds of shluchim when it comes to a get. There's a shliach halacha, whose job it is to bring it from point A to point B, from the husband to wherever. And then there's a shliach kabbalah, whose job it is to receive it instead of the woman. So the shliach halacha functions as a shliach of the husband, the shliach kabbalah functions as a shliach of the wife. When we say over here, a kol kshed in l'hobiyas a get, Rashi explains, as we'll see in the Gemara, that it actually means both. That it actually means both kinds of shluchim. So we'll get there. So no. So we're saying everybody except chutz mecheres shoyt v'katan, the suma and a blind person, or v'kavim and a goy.
So that's
a hakol. Hakol except for those five.
Hakol, yes.
Women and relatives also. We'll learn on our base. Actually, the Mishnah will say that even women who we don't believe to say that a woman's husband is dead because we're afraid that they're going to try to mess things up for her, even they are allowed to bring her get.
No, this is
talking anywhere.
What?
So they got to say before an after, before an after. Fine. So that anybody except for these five can say that. Yeah. People. And that was except for a shoter, we're saying a chedosh and a shoter and a cotton and a summa and an over kochavim can't say it, but even in Eretz Yisrael they can't bring a get. Never mind the funny nechtem, They don't have. We'll talk about in the Gemara why all those five are excluded. Kibbol a cotton v'higdu. What happens if a cotton receives a get and then he grows up before he delivers the get? Cheresh v'nispateach, or it was given to a cheresh and he became healthy again. He's able to hear or speak. Summa v'nispateach, it was given to a blind person and then he regained his sight. Shoter v'nishtaper, it was given to a shoter and then he became normal again. Obed kochavim v'nisgayer, or goy and he became a ger. It's still possible, because when it was given to him, he was possible. The Tosfos Yomtov, by the way, says an interesting thing. Why the order in these cases is different than in the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had begun cheresh shoter v'katan summa v'nishtaper. Now we have the order katan cheresh summa shoter and v'nishtaper. He says the difference is because now we're listing them in the order in which they're most likely to happen. A katan is almost certainly going to become a gadol as long as he's alive. The next most likely thing is the cheresh v'nispaseach. Next most likely is the sumo v'nispaseach, etc.
But why the first part of the
mission? So the first part of the mission is because you have the standard grouping cheresh shoyt v'katan that always go together, and suma and kochavim have a separate reason of their own, which the Gemara will talk about. Abel pikeach v'nischaresh v'chazav v'nispakeach. But what happens? Thank you. What happens if you gave a get to a normal person, then he became a cheresh, and then he again, before he had a chance to deliver it, became a pikeach again? Or pasuach v'nistama v'chazav v'nispateach, or a sighted person who became blind and then regained his eyesight. Shofa v'nishtata v'chazav v'nishtata. Kosher. In that case, it's kosher. Shofa means a normal person. V'nishtata, and then he became a shoyta v'chazav v'nishtata, and then he became normal again. Kosher. That, well, the general rule, kosher chalas of the sefer b'das, kosher. As long as the beginning and the end he had das, then he's kosher. So, Gemara starts off. Mishlem a cheresh shoyt v'katan. I can understand why a cheresh shoyt v'katan can't bring again. The lab v'nei deinu, they don't have das. And a shlich has to have das. Rashi points out the whole concept of shlichus we learn from a pasuk that says, v'yichulam ish selaveis avos. So we see that the shlich has to be an ish. It has to be that not ish as opposed to isha, but ish meaning somebody who has das. I mean, I can understand also why a goy is excluded the lav baraterahu, because he's not shayach to the heter of kedushin and gittin. A goy doesn't have the concept that his wife becomes mutter to anybody else based on a get. That whole concept, that whole toda of gittin and kedushin doesn't apply to them. Which Tosfos points out, I mean, the Gemara could have said much more straightforwardly, the din of shlichus don't apply to a goy. The reason why the Gemara phrases it this way is because soon we're going to talk about an eved, where the same concept applies to an eved as well. If we'd said that an eved is not, if we'd said not shayach for shlichos, an eved is shayach for shlichos, as we'll get to. But a goy is not.
And that includes an eved k'nani.
Yeah, we're talking about an eved k'nani. An eved ivri, there's no question. An eved ivri is a full-fledged Jew.
Right.
El a summa amayloi, why is a summa excluded from bringing a get? So Rav Sheshet says, because the summa has no way of knowing who he received the get from and who he's giving it to. We can't see. And that's what the Gemara is going to say. Wait, that's the answer. Wait. In that case, if you're going to say that a blind person has that problem, hey, chsumah mutter beishtai, how is a blind person bechlal allowed to be with his wife? Hey, b'nei adam retorim in shesei b'layla, and how is anybody allowed to be with their wives at night when there's no light? Ella, b'tzvias, ain't it a kolah. You have to say, how are they mutter? Because they can recognize the voice. Hachanami, between the standard of color. So the same thing over here. Fine, a summa may not be able to see who he's receiving the guest from, but at least he can hear, he can recognize the voices.
Yaakov was in a summa chazushah, and he still made a mistake to his wife at night.
Macharshim talk about that. That was Rachel and Leah.
One second, relax.
First of all, yes, some of the Farshim do point that out, that yes, Rachel and Leah, there's even an opinion in the Medrash that they were twins, actually, so they may have had very similar voices. But besides that also, that I think the Medrash says that how did Rachel avoid, we know that Rachel gave Leah the secret password in order that she shouldn't be embarrassed. But there's a Medrash also that says that Rachel hid out in that room all night, and whenever it was dark, and whenever Yaakov said anything to Leah, Rachel would answer. So therefore, yes, he heard Rachel's voice.
That's
how
it happened?
Yeah.
Did you know Samuel?
Actually, well, but it was dark and whatever. But actually, also, a bunch of Mepharshim also talk about how this relates to the whole thing with in the generation before that, when Yitzchak was blind and thought that and Yaakov came in to get the bracha, Kol Yaakov Ayadayim Yedei. So how is it that he recognizes the voice? So actually the Ramban on that pasuk points out that Yaakov and Esav may have had very similar voices. Or the Ramban says maybe Yaakov learned how to mimic Esav's voice.
They were twins.
Yeah, they were twins. Yeah, he imitated him. Yeah. There is an interesting verse. There's an interesting verse that one of the Acharonim says. I can't remember now which one. Who says that? Actually, that's what Rivka says means when she says "Olai kilolof chavni." When she says you're nervous to go in because your father may curse you, don't worry. Any curse will go on me. And what does she mean? She means like this. Based on our Gemara over here, we're saying why is a sumer allowed to be with his wife? Because he should recognize the voice. But she's saying, once you're going to go in, you're going to trick, Yitzchak. Then he's going to say to himself, you know what? From now on, I can't rely on a voice print anymore. In that case, I'm never going to be allowed to be with my wife again. Right. A lie to the loss of me on me is going to be the negative effect, the after effects of you going and getting that bracha.
But a sumah is a degree of hearing that a normal person doesn't have.
Okay, but that's yeah. Anyway, so Hochanam, which means Ender Kola, so the same thing over here, yes, with the Shliach, fine, okay, so he'll recognize by voice. Tosfos, by the way, says on the face of it, it would seem from our Gemara that Bechlal, whenever you send a Shliach with a get, it would mean that he has to recognize that this is the husband and this is the wife. We're saying over here, if he can't see them, then we're thinking he might be possible if it weren't for Tfiyah and Ender Kola. Tosfos says, no, there's a difference. So a Summa, it's easier to trick him. Because he can't see, it's easier to trick him if he Taka doesn't recognize the people's voices. A regular normal person, a regular sighted person, he doesn't necessarily have to know specifically that this is the husband and this is the wife, as long as afterwards he can describe it.
Well, a week's time until you deliver,
yeah.
You forget that.
Yeah.
Why
doesn't
he recognize the voice? Why can't other people
have
testified that this person is a woman to receive the get and he is a Christ? Why does he have to actually see
it? There's no one else around.
If he's the only Shliach. But besides that, also, there are other Mepharshim who point out that also the Gemara, that also the problem, well, actually, you know what, let's continue. Let's continue with the Gemara over here, and we'll see a reason. We'll see a reason why a Summa should be possible. Okay. Ella Amar Rabbi Yosef, Hacha B'Chutzlar, it's a skin and nose. So actually, what we're talking about over here is why is a Summa possible if he's carrying a get in Chutzlar, or from Chutzlar to Eretz Yisrael. He's not able to say b'fana nechta. Because it wasn't written and signed in his presence. Some of Farshim deal with the question, didn't we learn in the first parak that's good enough if you hear the get being written? And they give a couple of answers. One of them is that at least you have to have been able to see ahead of time that it's this piece of parchment, and afterwards you'll be able to recognize that it's the same piece of parchment. He doesn't even have that.
So we said
if he's writing it upstairs, but at least you see the piece of the blank piece of parchment, later on you're able to recognize that this is the same one that I heard him writing on. And also they talk about the possibility that maybe at least, okay, fine, you can say b'fana nechtem if you're a sighted person, because not mechtik to shikra, it doesn't look like a lie. But if it's a blind person, how can he b'chlal be saying the lashon b'fana nechtem? It's a blatant lie. Okay.
I'm not talking about a person that can.
No, that's exactly the point. Omalei Abaye, Elamai Atta Pasuach.
What about that? He has a cataract.
Can he see with the cataract or not? Elamai Atta, Abaye says, by that logic, Pasuach ben Istame, what about if you have somebody who was sighted and then became blind, the Mothi Omar, where then he is able to say, b'fana nechtem, because at the time he was able to see it. Hachinami de Kasher, you're telling me that he's Kasher. Vakatani, but the Mishnah says, Pasuach ben Istame b'chazim ben Ispateach, only if he was sighted, then blind, then sighted again is he Kasher, which implies, Chazim ben Ispateach ain't like Chazim ben Ispateach was. So if he never regained his sight before he delivered the get, then he's not Kasher. According to your logic, if it's a matter of b'fana nechtem, what's the problem? The answer is no. No, as a matter of fact, the Shliach would be Kasher even if he never regained his sight. Ivy the Kapani Shofa Vinishtapa Bakhazar Vinishtapa, but the Mishnah did have to tell us the case of a person who was normal, then became a shota, and then became normal again, where time of the Khazar Vinishtapa, where that taka only works if he became normal again. Ha loy Khazar Vinishtapa, but if he didn't regain his mind, then he's taka apostle. So it's for parallelism, it mentions also the case of the blind person. But really, you know, the blind person has to have his sight back at the time he delivers the get, as long as he had it when the get was given to him. Amar Rav Ashi Dekanami. As a matter of fact, we can see that deal in the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said only at the beginning and end he had das. So therefore, it's not a matter of kashrus or not, where a summa is possible to be a shliach to begin with, because you couldn't say b'fana nechta b'fana nechtem. But that it's not a matter of kashrus. Even if he lost his kashrus afterwards, he's okay. Only if as long as he had it at the beginning, as opposed to cheder shoyt of a cotton, where they don't have das at the end, that's where there would be a problem. That proves it. Interesting thing, by the way, they talk about. What about we have the case in the Mishnah Ovid Kachavim? So, okay, we said that if you gave it to him as a goy and then he became a ger, then it's no good because when it was given to him, he was a goy. What about a yisrael woman? What about if he abandons? What about if he abandons his gerus and reverts to being a goy? He becomes a yisrael woman. Right. So we always say yisrael hagam shechal to yisrael. It was on the face of it, it shouldn't be possible. But there is actually a good deal of discussion among rishonim and achronim about whether a mumer for this purpose can be considered a Jew or not. Based on the fact that the Mishnah is not mentioning that case, there is an argument that's made that, in fact, Taka, we would say that a mumer is shayach to get in the kiddushin, and therefore he would be kosher to finish delivering it. But there are other rishonim and achronim who argue not. This is relevant in other areas in halacha as well. Interesting thing they bring up in connection with if you ever notice in the siddur and in the bencher, you have towards the end of benching, you have in parenthesis over there bnei brit, ken yivorech haysonu bnei brit kulonu yachas. What the B'nai B'rith is there for. It's supposed to be that if a goy is there in the room with you, you should say B'nai B'rith, because the bracha is referring to the Jewish people who are there and not to him. Because as we'll learn on our days, goyim are not considered B'nai B'rith. I guess then he says quietly, but so they talk about what about if there's a strong woman there, if there's a mishumud. There are a number of poskim who say that in that case you still should say b'nei b'ris in that case, because he's not b'nei b'ris, that's the point. So therefore you should say b'nei b'ris to exclude him from the bracha. However, the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch says that not. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch says no. If there's a mishumud there, don't say b'nei b'ris. Include him, because he's Yisrael after Mishachat to Yisrael.
Yes, that's
what
I'm saying.
They asked Rav Ami a question as follows. Eved, Maushi also shliach, the kabo get nishim, yad baila. Can an Eved be a shliach to receive a woman's get from her husband? Now, we're not talking about over here her Eved, because her Eved, many Mephoroshim say there's no question about it. We said before that her chotzer can receive the get, so her Eved can receive a get. Okay, we talk about maybe because he's a chotzer on my left, because he might have to be tied up, etc., but whatever. Her own Eved, there's less of an issue. We're talking about an Eved of some third party. Is he kosher to be a shliach kabbalah to receive it on behalf of her? Amalu, so Rav Ami answers them. Think of it this way: since our Mishnah says that a goy is possible and does not mention the case of an eved, mikval the eved kosher. Evidently, the implication is that an eved is kosher. And Rashi goes on to say, just as we're seeing in our Mishnah that he's a shliach halacha. So also he would be kosher as a shliach kabbalah. There's no logic. Rashi says there's no logical reason to distinguish between them. The Rimigash says that actually there is a distinction. He says that the Gemara is going to say now that an Eved cannot be a Shliach Kabbalah. The Gemara is going to bring another opinion that an Eved can't be a Shliach Kabbalah. And Rashi would say that the same thing applies to a Shliach Halacha, that we're not using the inference from our Mishnah. The Rimigash says that there's a difference. An Eved can't be a Shliach Kabbalah, but he could be a Shliach Halacha. Because a Shliach Halacha, he says, is basically kind of just like a mailman. His job is to bring the get from point A to point B. He's not, as opposed to a Shliach Kabbalah, who's actually standing in place of the woman, there you need something more. Tied was you're talking about if you place the get into his hand. He's not actually actively involved in delivering it. We're talking about he's the actual deliverer, he's the actual receiver.
That means the effort of a cheerful kabbalah for the woman and we get to get. If she can get before, she gets to get.
That's the thing. With a valid shliach kabbalah, yes, that's the whole idea of a shliach kabbalah. A valid shliach kabbalah accomplishes that the get takes effect as soon as that shliach kabbalah receives it. However, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechna, no, ain't an Eved Nasa Shliach L'Kabbal Get L'Yishim Yad Baila. No, an Eved cannot become a Shliach Kabbalah. L'Fisha ain't Eved Tertus, Gittin V'Kiddushin, because the whole concept of Gittin V'Kiddushin doesn't apply to him. An Eved does not get married via Kiddushin. He doesn't get divorced via Gerushin, or via Get. So therefore, he's not Shayach to these whole things, similar to what we said on Amar Aleph about that a Goy is not Behetera. He's not involved with this whole thing either, and therefore he's possible. So Rav Asi is saying, so same thing with an Eved. So again, according to Rashi, that would mean both halacha and kabbalah. According to the Rimi Gash, it means only kabbalah, but he would be kosher for halacha. Not sure.
But if it's actually delivering, he has to accept. He's that partial yid.
Fine, he is a partial yid, and he is shy after many mitzvahs, but gittin and kedushin are not among them.
But we're talking about
an Eved Kenani. Of course an Eved Kenani. An Eved Ivri, in general, throughout Shas, whenever we say Eved unspecified, we usually mean an Eved Kenani, because an Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew. There's no reason except for the one thing that he's allowed to be with a Shiflis Nanis, there's really no difference between him and any other Jew in Halacha. So, yeah. Yeah, so that's okay. Mask sort of a law, time of the mill for the left day. So what are you telling me then? That you're telling me that this Eved is possible for being a Shliach Kabbalah, and maybe a Shliach Halacha as well, only because this is a din that he's not Shayach to. How the milfa de isa kosher, which would imply then that you're saying that if it's a mitzvah that he does have a Shaykhus to, he'd be kosher. But think of the case of a goy or a kursi who are Shayach to the din of Truma when it comes to produce that they themselves grew. It's not, as we learn in the Mishnah. That if a goy or a kuti take Truma from their own produce, then that Truma is valid Truma. So Tosfos discusses that Rashi discusses that we're talking this would have to be according to the opinion that if a goy buys property in Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't remove from it the obligation of Trumas and Meisers. It's still Chayiv in Truma and Meiser. So therefore, if the goy separates Truma from it on its own, then it has validity. Tosfos talks about possibilities that maybe even not, because he grew this produce. It's chayev in Truma. So you could have that a Jew goes and separates the Truma, but you can also have that the goy separates it on his own.
Why is it going mechuyev?
Because the land is mechuyev.
Well, is he not
fine, but the land is mechuyev in mitzvahs, and so he knows if he wants to be able to sell this produce, if he wants Jews to be able to eat this produce, he's going to have to take Truma and Meiser. Otherwise, people aren't going to buy his stuff, yeah. Or he's going to have to sell it at a discount, he's going to have to subtract the amount they're going to have to separate the Truma and Meiser, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Tosfos discusses a few scenarios where maybe even if you hold that a goy's property in Eretz Yisrael is possible from Truma and Meiser, you can still find scenarios where produce that he grew is still chayev. Anyway. So, trumasam truma. Their truma is considered valid truma, but utznan. But on the other hand, we learn another Mishnah that says, "Oyu kuchavim natarim shal Yisrael." That if a goy takes truma from a Jew's produce, afilo birushus, even if the Jew gave him birushus to do it, ain't trumas a truma. Then the truma is not a truma. Now, my timer. Now, why is that? Lav mashum dechiv atem gam atem. L'chora, it's because the whole concept of shlichus when it comes to truma, we learn from the fact that the Torah says kain terumu gam atem. So we learn from that gam also has to be just like atem, which means ma atem Yisrael ach shluchacham Yisrael. Just like you are Yisrael, so your shliach has to be a Yisrael. In that case, in other words, the question is, the Rav Elazar's question is, so therefore, that's why we're saying a goy is possible as a shliach for truma, but therefore, by that logic, an Eved should also be possible as a shliach for truma. But an Eved is not Yisrael either. The answer is no, that's not what it means. Amri Dvei Rav Yana, they say it in the Yeshiva Rav Yana, and Lois, that's not what the word atem means. It means ma'atem b'nei b'ris af shlochan b'nei b'ris. It means just like you are members of the covenant that the Eibishter brought the Jewish people and their avodim into the covenant. They all have a bris milah. They all have a bris of keeping mitzvah. Af shlochan b'nei b'ris. So your shliach has to be a ben b'ris. So an Eved Kenani is a ben b'ris because he's chayiv in some mitzvahs. A goy is not a ben b'ris. Which therefore, returning to that thing, by the way, of Cain, you've got a son of B'nai B'ris. In benching, in fact, you don't have to say B'nai B'ris if an Eved is there, because an Eved is part of B'nai B'ris, he's included.
And he doesn't have a
Mila. If he doesn't have a Mila because of an oiness, then he's still, but even if it's good enough, then okay, so he's over on a mitzvah, but he's still considered, he still has the B'ris, he's still included in the B'ris, he's still included in the B'ris, so he's still included. Yeah.
Even without a Mila.
Yeah. We learned in Nedarim that all goyim, even if physically they're circumcised, are considered to be avelim, and all Jews, even if physically they're uncircumcised, are considered to be mulim.
Yeah.
So a goy can't be a shliach, but an eved could. That's the point. Again, he's saying the same thing as Rav Asi said before, that an Eved cannot be a Shliach Kabbalah to receive a woman's get from her husband. Again, because he's not Shaykh to the dinim of Gittin V'Kedushin. But he continues, even though we've learned a Mishnah that says, if someone says, Hare at Shivcha of Lobech ben Chorin, if someone says to his Shivcha, you will remain a Shivcha, but your baby that you're carrying, your unborn baby, will be ben Chorin, Im Hoysa Ubra, so if she's pregnant, Zoxaloi, then she is able to be Zoicha on behalf of her unborn baby. That's what Rabbi Yechanan had said, that's what Rabbi Chiya Ba'av is quoting. So my imhaita ubra zachsaloi. So what does that mean? What does alpha pishushanina? What's the connection between the two halves of Rabbi Yechanan's statement? He asked Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda came to Babel, he explained what Rabbi Yechanan said. He said Amar Rabbi Yechanan tauti Amar. He means Rabbi Yechanan was saying two different statements, two different but related statements. Number one, nirim dvorim, it seems logical to say, sha'evin makabo get machaberin yad rabbe shachaberin, that, so first of all, there was the first statement that he was saying that an evid can't be a shliach to receive a woman's get from her husband, because he's not paterus getting the kedushin. Now, what about, though, an evid receiving a get shichru on behalf of another evid? An evid is shayach to paterus getting when it comes to get shichru. So one evid can be makabel get for a fellow evid miyad rabbi shachaveri from his fellow evid master. Avaloi miyad rabbi shaloi, but not from his own master. Why? Because the logic is if he himself, this evid, is considered an extension of his master as abde ki yadai, yad evid ki yad rabbi is the expression. So if this master's Eved takes a get from him to deliver to another Eved, So if you have, in other words, you have one master and you have two Avadim, who have two Avadim, and one Eved takes the get from his master to give to the other one, so he's Yad Eved Ki Yad Raboi, so the get still hasn't left. The original master is Rishus. So therefore, no good. Now Rashi points out, if you have one master and one Eved, if you have the master give it directly to the Eved, that's fine because it's called Gite V'yodei Boim Ke'echad. That the Eved, at the same, two things happen in the same moment. The same way as we talked about a couple of days ago, that when you can have a case where Gite V'chaseira Boim Ke'echad, that the transfer of the Chaser and the transfer of the Get happen at the same moment. Similarly, you can have over here, when the master gives to the Eved receives that Get. At that moment, two things happen. He himself becomes free. He himself becomes a ben chorin who has a yad, and the get therefore is in that. It comes into that yad. Get to the other boyin kachon. But when you have master gives to eved number one, who gives to eved number two, no good. Eved number one's not free at that point. He has no yad. Therefore, he has no ability to be able to take the get and give it to the other one. But if we're talking about that, there's different masters and different avodim, then yes, an eved of one master can take a get from. An eved of Reuben can take a get shichur from Shimon to give to Shimon's eved because he has no shaykhus to Shimon. He can be considered the equivalent of Shimon giving Reuben the get shichur to give to the eved, which would be fine.
An eved of a wife can transfer to an eved of her husband.
So we learned way back in Yevamos about the avodim, it depends whether they're part of nichsim alug or nichsim tzimbarzol. It depends basically whether their goof belongs to the isha or to her husband. There can be different cases in that. But yeah, avaloi miyad rabbi shaloi, but not from his own master. Now, if somebody whispers to you to say, how is that possible? Is that the halacha shnuya? What we learned in a Mishnah in Haisa Uber Zachsalites. That you have a case where someone could give a get shikhra to its shikha, and she's zochen it on behalf of her vlad. Where the shikha and the vlad up to that point, the unborn vlad, both belong to the same master, and you're saying that she's able to receive that get shikhra not on behalf of herself, but on behalf of her vlad. So why? By the same logic, with two separate avodim, shouldn't it be the same way, that Reuben can give a get shikhra to Eved number one, who will give it to Eved number two? Emor lo, you should tell him, Shnei Gdele Adar Pirshu Atadavar, that there are actually two great people of the generation who explain that situation. That's a separate kind of case, that case of a shikha and her vlad. They are Rav Zeira and Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Chadomer, one of them explained, Hamani Rebihi, that this din about giving a get shikha to a shikha and having her be zoicha in it on behalf of her, this is according to Rebbe. Gomer HaMashachar Chatsi Avdei Kona. He says, we'll learn later on, we're going to have a sugya later on, Lamed and Mem, about the dinim of Avodim. He says that if you free half your Eved, then that Eved is Kona, that half. So in other words, we always talk about Shachla, Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Bet Chorin. The one way of it is that the Eved is owned by two masters and one of them frees him. But Rebbe over there says that another way is the master himself can free half the Eved. So therefore, so if you say that, then that if you say that, and the Chadama and the other one explains my time of the Rebbe Baha. So what's Rebbe's reason in this case over here of the Shifcha and her Vlad? Because he holds that the baby is considered like a limb, like a leg of his mother. So therefore, by taking these two, Rashi points out that these two, Rav Zeira and Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, are not arguing. Each of them is giving half of the argument, according to Rebbe. Who says that it's possible to be Meshachar, half of your Eved, given that Uber Yerech Imayhu, then freeing the Vlad while keeping the mother as a Shivcha is the equivalent of freeing half a person, which according to Rebbe works. So therefore, it's not a matter of one Eved being Koyner to get Shivcha on behalf of the other one, which doesn't work like Rebbe Yechanan is saying. It's rather the Eved being Koyner to get Shivcha on behalf of only part of himself. On behalf of only part of himself. Which Tosfos asks the question then in that case, I mean, if you're only Mela, if you say that you're freeing the whole Eved Gitu V'yodin Bo'en Kecha, that the get and the ability to acquire the get come at the same time. If you're only freeing part of the Eved in this case, then how do you have the ability to be Zoche in the get anyway? So Tosfos leaves the question unanswered. Various Rishonim, I think that Ramban talks about one possibility that yes, what we would say is whatever part becomes free, has enough of an ability now to receive a get shikhra. So it's a gift of a yada burn kachan. It's not yada attached to the whole body. It's yada attached only to part of the body, let's say. But that part has the ability to receive it. According to the Chachamim, you can't do a half. According to Rebbe, you can. So we learned in various places in Shas, in Machol, there's a Shama Basil about that. What do you do with a Chetzi Eved and Chetzi Ben Chorin? Basil first said that, okay, so he takes turns. One day he works for himself, one day he works for his master. That's actually come to think about another thing that Mephoshim say, how this whole thing can work to answer Tosis's question. Because if this slave now is going to be working part of the time for himself and part of the time for his master, the part of the time that he's a free person, then he has the ability to be kind of again. But anyway, then the Shammai says you have a problem. How's he going to get married? He can't marry a Shifcha. He can't marry a Bas Kurdin. So Basil changed their mind and agreed with the Shammai that in that case, Basil forces him to free the slave completely.
You can say, but also part of the time he married Shifcha.
No, because that doesn't work. I mean, even...
Why force him to free the slave, then he could go and sue the first guy because he had caused him a loss.
Maybe. I mean, if it would be drama, I don't know if it would be necessarily be something that... Yeah, maybe. Besides, I mean, he's getting paid for it. It's from a star, a chatzidam of Basil says that you write out a star that the second master is owed half the value of this Eved. When the Eved raises enough money, he's going to have to pay him back for it.
Yes, he has to buy
himself
back.
Okay. Mishnah says, even the women, which we're going to list soon in the Mishnah, who are not believed to say to a woman that her husband died, which we learned about this in Yevamos, Nemonas Lahavias Gita, they're still believed to bring her get.
So let's
list the cases. Chamoisa, a woman's mother-in-law, is not believed to say that her husband died because we learned in Yevamos, because usually a natural rivalry, there's a natural antipathy between a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law. So the mother-in-law takes the view, you know what, everything that my husband earned during his lifetime is all going to go and then be dissipated by this daughter-in-law of mine. Obas Chamosa, her mother-in-law's daughter, same idea. The daughter herself basically could have inherited, or at least she'd get some part of, you know, she'd get Parnosa or Nachal, you know, whatever, she'd get Mazonis or whatever if it weren't for Yah. The Tsarasa, her co-wife, as we learned extensively in Yavamas, the Yavimta, her Yavama, her husband's brother's wife, because they're potential tsaris. If one or the other of the brothers dies childless and Yibum takes place, then they're gonna be tsaris to each other. There it's a matter of tsaris. There it's a matter of Ein Ish Miskana El Yerachavata, that a woman has a natural rivalry with her co-wife. That we're having to share the same husband. Each of us only gets half. Each of us only gets half. You know, half as often as we should, etc. Well, Bas Baila and her husband's daughter, meaning her stepdaughter. So all those five, we assume that they have something against this woman, or they have reason to have something against her. Therefore, they would try to claim, for example, they'd try to falsely claim your husband is dead in order that she'll remarry and then she'll be subject to all the penalties that we learned about in Yavamas. But in this case, we believe all of them still to bring her get. Ma ben get to me. So what's the difference between get? What's the difference between a get and a reported death? The difference is shaksav mechia. You have a proof. They have a proof of the actual writing of the get. You're not really being so mechan them. In other words, they have an actual get in hand. We're not going to go.
Is it her interest?
No, it's not a question. What do you mean? No, it might be in their interest to try to mess her up, again, to falsely claim that her husband divorced her in order that she'll remarry, and then meanwhile they'll bring evidence that not. But the fact that they have a get in hand and written and signed, we're not going to go so far as to think that maybe they forged the entire thing. A woman can bring her own get, she can be her own shliach halacha, but she has to be able to declare, if it's coming from chutzlar, so that she has to be able to declare b'fanei nechtem, b'fanei nechtem. So the Gemara is going to deal with, we're probably not going to get to it today, we'll deal with tomorrow, why would a woman have to be a shliach halacha anyway? Why would she have to be her own shliach halacha? Or her husband's shliach halacha, rather. Why, what would be the logic? What would be the scenario?
Right.
So we'll talk
she
about
it.
So we'll say before the next one, because that's the kind of. Okay, we'll get into more tomorrow why she has to say.
She has Adam.
Yeah, Adam's fine on the get, fine. But, you know what, we'll get more into that tomorrow. But let's. Okay, so the Gemara asked about Tanya, but we learned in a Braisa, Kashem She'ein Neh Monos Lemon Beis Baila Kach Ein Neh Monos Lavi Gita. There's a Braisa that says that these five women are not believed to bring the get. Just like we don't believe them to report her husband is dead, so we don't believe them to bring the get. Amar Yosef, like Kasha Kan Ba'aretz Kan B'Chutz La'aretz. No, the one's talking about in Eretz Yisrael, one's talking about in Chutz La'aretz. Ba'aretz, when it's in Eretz Yisrael, the Lava Dibur Didok Hasam Chinan, when she doesn't have to say B'fan Nechta, B'fan Nechta, so therefore we're not relying on her saying anything Mehemna. So we can believe her. She just brings the get. The get by itself is considered kosher, without anything further, without her declaring anything, therefore that's good enough. Whereas in Chutz La'aretz, where we require her to say b'fanei nechtem, loy mehemna, then we shouldn't believe her. The same way as we don't believe her to say your husband is dead, we shouldn't believe her to say b'fanei nechtem. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya says, Adarabi, Ibchum is that. Because that would be the logic. You're not believing any of their statements. However, Amalei Abaya, Adarabi, Ibchum is that. Adarabi, the logic should be the other way around. But Oret, in Eretz Yisrael, within Eretz Yisrael, the E Osi Baal Ma'ara Mashkichin and Bey, where since she's not saying b'fanei nechtem, if the husband comes and objects and says that the get is forged or whatever, or it wasn't written Lishma or whatever, we believe him. So therefore there's more of a reason to say that one of these five women may be bringing this get in order to mess her up, therefore like Mehemna. Therefore there should be more reason to say that we don't believe her. But Chutz La'aretz, whereas if it comes from Chutz La'aretz, where she has to say b'fanei nechtem, and once she does, the also Baal Ma'ara Le'emech Kichinibay, even if the husband comes and raises objections, at that point we don't believe him, as we said before, Mehemna. By that logic, we should believe her, because in Chutz, since she has to say b'fanei nechtem, then there's no way, once she says that, there's no way that the get is going to be suspect anymore. So, okay, Tosfos points out Rabbi Yosef could counter back to that, but okay, look, even in Chutzlot, there are all possibilities. I mean, if you say if the husband just comes in as Ma'arer, we're not going to pay attention, but okay, if he brings Edim, if he brings an actual raya that he never sent to get, then obviously we have to believe that. So even in that case, then there was a scenario where they could still mess around.
Obvious. Even one reason why you have that say is because
it's hard to find Edim at certain family, yeah.
Yeah,
but so that's the thing. So Rabbi Yosef would say that even when you're saying b'fanenecht, then there's still the possibility that it may turn out to be forged. But okay, Rabbi figures that's a far fetched thing. Tanis kama say Rabbi. In fact, we learn a brayza like a Abaye's version that our Mishnah, which says that they're believed, is talking about in Chutz La'aretz, and the brayza that says they're not believed is talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Brayza says Rav Shimon ben Elazar omer mishum Rav Akiva. A woman is believed to bring her own get based on a kavachomer. Madach, the five women who we don't believe to say her husband is dead, we do believe them to bring her get. Ne'emonis lahavigita, but we still say we believe her to bring her get. He, shenemenis lememes baila, the woman herself, who we believe her to say that my husband died, because as we learned in Yeromis, isha daiko mintzva, she'll be very careful before getting married, so she doesn't have all those penalties. Ain't a din shenemenis lahavigita, how much more so we should say that we believe her to bring her get. And in that case, the brayta continues, umin mokam shabasa. In that case, if that's how we're deriving the concept that these five women are able to bring the get, based where we're using this kalachimer, then malahalam tzricha shriyam b'fanenu nechta b'fanenu nechta. So the same way as those five women, if they're going to bring the get, have to be able to say b'fanenu nechta b'fanenu nechta, afi tzricha shriyam b'fanenu nechta b'fanenu nechta. So she would also have to. Because if that's how we're learning it by a kalachimer from them, then if they have to say it, she has to say it. So therefore, we see that's exactly what Abaye is saying, that when there's a situation, when it's coming, when there's a situation where b'fanenu nechta is supposed to be said, namely when it's coming from Chutz La'aretz, then she also has to say that, which is exactly what Abaye is saying.
Why didn't she have to say it?
She got it. So that we'll talk about tomorrow. We'll talk about why she would be a shliach halacha anyway. But let's set that aside from now. Assuming that she is a shliach halacha, then she has to say b'fanenu nechta, just like any shliach halacha would. Ravashi must be in Nami Deka. So Ravashi says, as a matter of fact, you can see that from the exact wording of the Mishnah. So you see, the Mishnah itself clearly says that the woman herself can bring the get as long as she's saying b'fanenu nechta. So therefore, you see, then obviously the last part of the Mishnah must be talking about chutzlod. Therefore, Ravashi is saying, therefore, logically, we should assume the previous part of the Mishnah is also talking about bringing a get from chutzlod. And in that case, when do we say their name on it? Only when they're coming from Chutz La'aretz. When they're saying b'fanenu nechta, which agrees with what Abaye is saying. Okay, the question is, Rabbi Yosef, so what are you going to say according to Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef is safer b'Chutz La'aretz, mitziyasa b'aretz. So what are you going to tell me? The Mishnah is switching back and forth. The previous Mishnah, Akol Kshayr and Lahavi, as a guest, was talking about Chutz La'aretz, because he said that's why a blind person couldn't bring it, because he couldn't say b'fanenu nechta. The first half of our Mishnah is going to talk about in Eretz Yisrael, that you believe in, and the last part is going to talk about Chutz La'aretz. And says, yes, Reisha B'Sefer B'Chutz La'aretz Mitziyasa B'Aretz. Fine, yes, Rabbi Yosef would have to say it that way. Mimai, why does he say that? Midikotani, because he says, look at the words of the Mishnah. Ma ben get l'misa shak ksav mechiyach. He says, the Mishnah says, what's the difference between get and report of death is that the ksav proves it. But like the shak ksav upem mechiyach. It doesn't say that the writing plus the words b'fanenu nechta proves. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef is forced to say that the first part of that Mishnah, about the five women, is talking about a case where there's no pen needed. There's no b'fanenu nechta needed. When is that? In Eretz Yisrael. So only in Eretz Yisrael do they believe, not in Chutz La'aretz. Rashi explains that Abaye would say the other way around. Abaye would say that the Mishnah just says that's not relevant. The Mishnah is saying when it comes to oral reports, when it comes to peh, what's the difference between the peh of get, when you're saying b'fanenu nechta, and the peh of your husband died, the difference is shaksav mechiyach. The peh of get is accompanied by a shtar, is accompanied by a guest, and the peh of your husband died is not.
Again, we don't have to go so out of the way to forge a get.
To forge a get, exactly.